All right, good morning. Nice to see you here today. And, I know we don't always, recognize folks from the audience, but Janice Taguchi, it was nice seeing you today. Did everybody see Janice was back with us today? And I introduced myself to her, and so you make sure that you do that too. It's nice to have you, Janice, today. Are you back? You just visiting? Aww. Come on, everybody say it together. Aww. Aww. Yeah. sometimes when you sit down and study the Bible, and I'm sure you're kind of like me, it's like God gives you these big truths that like take you on this journey all over the Word of God that teaches you a lot of different things. And over the last few weeks, I've been preparing to start this message today entitled Baggage. I've just come to realize how important it is that we let some things go, that we lay some things down in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And how in many ways that it is so true that we will not grow, or we will not get past, or we will not become stronger until we do that. So it's important that we understand that right at the beginning here today. Matter of fact, I want to share a song with you. I'll even sing it with you. You can join me in this. But the neat thing about this song is, it's not necessarily a hymn or a church song, but I think maybe it should be. And while you've never, while you've never sang this song in church, I think that maybe we should start today. So here's the song. Let's all join in and sing it. Now, if you're here this morning, you're old, you don't have grandkids, you don't know what this song's all about. But if you've got little kids, you know what this song is all about. My granddaughter, Finley, she is Elsa, she is Anna, whichever one she chooses to be that day. She has the dress, and she literally comes down the stairs singing this song to anybody that's there. And what's the song? Let it go, let it go. That's all I know. I don't know any more of the song. And even though I've watched this movie, I don't know, probably a half a dozen times, I still can't remember another word to that song, but I know those two lines, let it go, let it go. And you know what? Today, I think that this is a great place to start as we start talking about the baggage that we all carry. Here you go, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31 and 32. I want you to read these words with me. I want you to follow along, and I want you to just notice the overall message of what God is saying to us here. He says, get rid of all malice. Let it go. Lay it down. Anybody here carry any bitterness as baggage? He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage. You know, it's hard to imagine that we would confess that we sometimes feel rage, but a lot of times we do. It's boiling up from inside of us about injustices that have come our way and things that have been put on us by others or things that we've even brought on ourselves. And anger, he says, and brawling. You know, maybe you don't brawl too much outwardly, but I know all of us brawl with others deep down in our spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And he says here that while we need to lay those things aside, that we need to get rid of those things. There's something that we need to put in its place. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Folks, I know that if we're honest with ourselves and God this morning, that this is a struggle for us all. A struggle for us all, because we all have a past, we all have years of bad choices and mistakes that we've made. And what he's talking about here is something that other people don't necessarily see in you, but it's something that you carry around in your life. That's what baggage is. You know, many years ago, I had something happen to me in ministry, and long, long, long time ago. But this gentleman came to me, and he was asking. He was talking about his family and some difficulties that they were having in the family, and he was talking about how his daughter had a child out of wedlock and a second child out of wedlock, and he said to me, he said, you know, John, he said, I think it'd just be a good idea if my daughter would just get her own place and move out and, you know, and stand on her own two feet. And I said, this is what I said. I said, you know what? That's probably a good idea. Now, some weeks later, I noticed that this man's wife was very, very different with me. She was very cold with me. I could tell that there was something up. And so in a moment when it was just she and I said to her, I said, you know, what's going on? And boy, that's all it took for the rage and the anger and the malice to come out. And she said to me, you know, my husband told me what you said, and don't you try to deny it. I know that you said these things. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and I called her husband by name. What did he say that I said? And she said, well, he told me how you told him that the best thing that we could do was to kick her out on the street and make her stand on her own two feet and never allow her back in our home. About that time, her husband walks up, and I said to him, I said, did you say this to her? And he said, well, that's what you said. And I said, I didn't say that. And he said, well, you did in so many words. That's what he said, in so many words. And you know what? The malice that they had just all of a sudden shifted over to me. And I can't tell you how long I carried that. It was like, you know, why would he characterize that way? You know, why would he say that? I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. I didn't want that. All I said was that, that's probably I agreed with him. You ever been in a situation like that? Where somebody is full of rage or bitterness or anger or slander, and then all of a sudden, because you find out about their feelings towards you, you end up having those same very feelings about you. Listen, folks, don't ever forget when I tell you this. It's really easy to become what you hate. The very things that we talk about that are so wrong in other people's lives can so easily infiltrate and come right into ours. There are so too many people walking around today carrying heavy baggage from past mistakes, past difficulties, past hurt, past pain, bad choices, etc. And so many times we carry those unknowingly. For as far as other people are concerned, they never see these things that are so much weighing us down. Listen, folks, here's what we got. We have to lay those things down. We have to lay those things down. We have to. We don't have a choice, because those things will get down in the bottom of us, and they will grow and they will fester. We have to let it go, We have to choose forgiveness and repentance in order, what's he say? In order to be kind and tenderhearted and loving towards other people. Now here's the teaching of this passage that I think is so interesting, because obviously to let go of an issue, we first of all have to come to an understanding about that issue. We have to understand what the issue is and what it isn't. We have to understand what the problem is, where it originated, how it affects us in life. And in this passage here, Paul specifies some things to get rid of. Now, we already made the list once when we read it, but notice these things again. Get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every other form of malice. And then even though he speaks about this in the next phrase that's in a different context, we need to make sure that we get rid of unforgiveness. You see, here's the thing, folks. In most of our lives, what these things are is they are about the struggle that we have in life and about the years of mistakes and bad choices. But here's the thing. They're really just the tip of the iceberg. And what we see on the surface is usually only just a small part of what's really there. That's why when we have these things, when they finally come out, they come raging out. That's why when we identify, you know, anger and bitterness and slander and all these forms of malice, when we see these things and we don't want anybody to see them, we don't want anybody to recognize them, we don't even want anybody to know, you know, we carry this baggage as well as we can. We don't want anybody to see how difficult this load is. But then when it comes out, when it finally comes out, most of the time it comes out with a vengeance. It's the tip of the iceberg. You know what I'm talking about? You've had these situations with your kids. I remember many years ago, Arlene and I, we were driving somewhere with our children. Actually, what had happened, we'd gone out of town for a funeral. The children had stayed with someone else. And then when we came home, we met them in Johnstown to see Mark Lowry do his comedy thing. So we had driven, you know, we'd driven all day and all evening to get there, you know, so we could experience this with our kids. And we got there, and as children do, and I'm sure your children were much worse than mine, but my kids were very ungrateful. You know, for the life of me, I couldn't understand why they weren't thinking, boy, my mom and dad are awesome, they're great, look at what they've done so that we could do this, and we're here and everything. And we went through the evening, and they were fighting and bickering and talking back, and I just, you know, I was just tired. I was wanting to get through this and come home. And after it was over, the kids were in the back seat of the car. Lena and I were driving home with them. They both had a 8x10 glossy photo of Mark Lowry that he had signed to them. And they were just going at each other and at each other. And then the rest of my iceberg come rushing to the surface. You know, just like the Titanic, when it saw that small piece of ice floating in the ocean and all of a sudden they hit it, my kids hit it. And I come raging up to rip the hull off their ship. And I reached back and I was slapping anything that my arm could reach. Don't judge me. I know you guys you've done the same thing. And lo and behold, one of them stuck out their picture and I got their 8x10 glossy picture of Mark Lowry, and I ripped it up. I just ripped it. Not my finest day as a husband. Certainly not nearly my finest day as a father, but to this day, my children will tell you about that time that Dad freaked out in the car. You see, things like that are boiling below the surface, sometimes they just come forward. It's the tip of the iceberg. It's not like people just wake up one morning and decide that they're going to be bitter, that they're going to be angry. I've never heard anybody say, you know what, I sure hope somebody does something awful to me today. Nobody does that. Nobody lives that way. But yet we all live with these things that are right there. And we all know they're there, but we don't want anybody else to know that they're there. Here's some ideas that I think Paul gives us to help us identify this process. You know, in other words, you know, bring the process to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help to reveal any areas in your life that's holding you back. And not only take it to the Lord in prayer, but maybe you need to talk to a trusted friend and ask them to help you. For them to help you to be accountable. Ask their help to identify any obvious areas in your life that you are loaded down with baggage in. Or any areas of trouble or blind spots that you have that you might not even notice. And then you know, find some counsel. You know what, I'll guarantee you, if I ask everybody in this auditorium this morning to be very truthful and to raise your hand if you've ever sought professional counseling, it's amazing how many hands would go up. Mine would. And you know what? God gives us the opportunity to talk to Him. God, help me with this bag. Help me with this load I'm carrying. Help me with this bitterness that I'm feeling. Help me with this anger, Lord, that wells up inside of me. You know, talking to a good, trusted, close friend that loves you. Not somebody that's just going to tell you what you want to hear, but will tell you the truth. You know, a lot of us need to realize that we need to even go further than that. We need to seek some wise Christian counselor to help us in this situation in life. Listen, I love the Word of God when it says in Proverbs chapter 11, He says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. And in the end, you will be wise. He also says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Or how about this one? Plans are established by seeking advice. So what are some ways that you identify baggage in your life? Through prayer? Through friends, through counselor. You know, in all three of those situations, it's my opinion that the biggest difficulty in seeking God in prayer and finding answers, in confiding in good friends and getting help, or in going to a counselor and receiving real guidance, they're all the same. We fail to listen to the guidance that is given. Because if we seek God, if we seek our friends, if we seek wise counselors, God will help us. What will He help us do? He will help us to bring it into the light. In other words, once you've identified these areas of baggage, the next obvious step is to do something about it, to get rid of it, to accept the help for it. You know, a couple years ago, Arlene and I were traveling. Yeah, it's longer than that, actually, because it was way before COVID. Arlene had surgery on her leg, and she was in a boot. And, you know, walking was really difficult. And I remember we were going through Chicago for whatever reason. And when we got there, As we came off of the airplane into the airport, there was a worker there for the airline, and they saw Arlene and Rabu, and they said, "Oh, ma'am, just a moment," said, "Where are you going?" And we told them where our connecting flight was. And before I knew it, we had a little cart there, and they were going to drive her, and it was a long way in the airport. And I'll never forget, you know, I said, "Okay, honey, I'll meet you at the gate." And the lady said, "Oh, my goodness, no, sir. Here, you get on here with us. You can go along." So they drove us all over this airport to our next gate. And then it happened again in that same trip. And they took us exactly where we needed to be. And we finally got home, had a great trip. You know, the experience was good. And I said to Arlene, I said, "Honey, put that boot in the closet. We may need that again sometime." You know, sometimes our pride keeps us from accepting help with baggage. But you know what? When we get to the point that we have to accept the help, we find out how really beautiful that can be. Thanks be to God that His plan for you is so much bigger than just letting it go, than just ignoring it, than just keeping the iceberg under the water, but that he gives you some help, and He's interested in healing. He's interested in restoring and seeing you walk in freedom from all of those things. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6. He says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." What's that word say? That word is saying that we have to be willing to admit that a lot of times our baggage keeps us in the darkness, that our baggage weighs us down, and all we have to do is to give it to Him, and He will forgive us. And can we ever forget the words of Jesus? "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." What's He say? "Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me." In other words, Jesus wants to help us with the load that we are carrying. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that you've been rescued from the dominion of darkness, that you and I share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light. Think about that. That there is no darkness. And here's the thing. When you live in the kingdom of light, there are not even any shadows. You know, my dog drove me crazy this morning. I took him out to the bathroom. And for whatever reason, he was seeing my shadow from the front porch of our home, and all of a sudden he was like, "Whoa, what is that?" And I could not get him to do his business at all because of the shadow. But here's the thing, folks. When we walk in the kingdom of light, it's not that there's no darkness. There's not even any shadows. Things like bitterness and anger and malice and slander and unforgiveness, they're characteristics of this world. They're not characteristics of the kingdom of light. They're not characteristics of the kingdom of God. They're not there. So as believers, it is so important for us to regularly evaluate ourselves and consider what fruit is being produced from our tree. And when we identify this rotten fruit, this baggage, when we bring it to light, when we confess and ask forgiveness, in some cases, when we extend forgiveness to others, when we understand that God, yes, God is faithful and He will forgive us and purify us from all our sins. Now listen, folks, I know that this sounds amazing. This sounds wonderful. Who doesn't want to walk in the freedom of the light, unhindered by excess baggage? Now let me tell you something, guys. I'll bet you most of you can really identify with this. Sometimes when Arlene and I, when we've traveled, and we both have a big suitcase full of stuff, and we come to a place where there's steps, it always is the same thing. I say, here, honey, let me have your bag, and I want both these big suitcases, one on each arm. And Arlene's always the same. No, honey, I can carry it. And you know what? I never respond and say, oh, sure, go ahead, honey, thanks. I'm glad. Here, take mine also. I always say, no, let me have it. And many times she'll argue with, no, honey, I don't want you to have to carry both of these. I think she just sees me tumbling down the steps and having to go to the hospital or something. I don't know. But I always, insist, no, you give me that baggage. Let me tell you something, folks. God in heaven is wanting to help us with our excess baggage. Why is it so hard for us to give up these things and appreciate and love Him for the help? Because when you have baggage that is too heavy, too difficult, too hard, too much work, He is always there, ready and willing and able to carry that baggage. But so often we are unwilling to hand it off. You see, I think what He's asking us to do here is trust this process that He has given to us in His Word for us to get help with these things. Because let me tell you something, when we finally give these things, it's amazing the light load that we then have. You see, the process of letting go is difficult. I know that I'm talking to people here this morning that you're carrying something that you could identify as baggage. Some anger, some bitterness, some malice, some unforgiveness. I know that there are many people in here, maybe all of us, that we all are carrying some bag or some baggage that we've carried for a long time. For some of us, it's been years or decades or even a lifetime. And I want you to know that today can be the day that you lay it down and you don't have to carry it anymore. But you see, there's a process of identification. There's a process of coming into the light. There's a process of getting to the point where you understand how much God loves you and how much He wants to help. And we need to understand that with God, all things are possible. Because a lot of you are carrying things that you think it is impossible for you to get rid of, for you to lay it down, for you to get beyond it, for you not to drag it like a ball and chain through the rest of your life. But that's when God reminds us that with Him all things are possible and that we must be willing to trust the process of letting go. Hear these words from 1 Thessalonians 4. I love this. He says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should, he goes on and says, that you should avoid sexual immorality. But there's even a lot more things that we must avoid. But when we understand that this process is not a day, it's not a week, it's not a month, it's not a year, it's a lifetime. The sanctification process, and I know that's a big Sunday school word that we don't talk about anymore, but what sanctification really means is that slowly over time becoming more and more like Jesus. And the process will never be fully done until we're there with Him in heaven. But we have to understand that we need to allow this thing to happen every day, every week, every month. You know, sometimes I think we look at Christianity and sanctification as an internship. Just somewhere I'm going to go hang out for a little while, maybe learn a few things, and then come back to my life. No, it's not any one day or any one moment. It's all of life. So everything that I've said up to this moment in this message leads to this one question. Do you trust Him? Do we trust Him? Do we trust His plan for us? Do we trust His process of eliminating our baggage that we carry in life? Do we understand that He is at work in our life for good? And see, here's the thing. When you ask that question, do you trust Him? It's either yes or no. It's not sometimes. It's not often. It's not maybe. It's yes or no, because if we don't fully trust Him, then we don't trust Him. If we're not able to give Him every situation in life, you know, when we're able to give Him, when evil is done towards us and we understand that what someone else meant for evil, God, You meant for good. You meant to use this to perfect me, to sanctify me, to make me more like Your Son. You see, folks, that's the place that we have to get to. And if the answer is yes, then let it go. Let it go and get moving. You know, I know in this message it's like when I start thinking about illustrations to illustrate what I'm talking to you about, it seems like travel and everything just comes to the forefront. But and I've only ever seen these things in American airports and in other parts of the world when I've traveled around. I've never seen these in any other airport than in America. Now they probably exist somewhere, but I've never seen them. What they are, they're moving sidewalks. Greatest lazy man invention ever. Don't you just love when you're going down this, you know, here's the thing, you get your paperwork at the desk in the airport and it says your gate is number 162. And where you're going in the airport and you look and you're at gate number one and then you see number two and you're thinking, holy salukis, you know, do I have enough time to get there? And then all of a sudden you see those moving sidewalks in the middle. And I always just laugh at the people that bypass those. You know, they're craziness. Why would you ever bypass a moving sidewalk that's going the way you're going? But when you get on those, what happens? You keep walking. Right? You don't ever get on a moving sidewalk and stop. You don't get on them because you can't move. You get on them because you want to move faster. And you just keep, but then what happens when you get to the end and when you're walking and he knows, and then you step all over, you go like, whoa, you almost fall on your face, you know, because all of a sudden you slow way, way down. You see, here's the thing, folks. God's wanting to get us from where we are to where He wants us to be. And if we choose to walk and carry all that heavy luggage, when He is right there willing to carry our luggage and even carry us, how foolish it is to walk away from such help. You see, that's what the enemy does. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He is so accomplished at weighing us down and making us come to understand that the weight and the baggage that we carry is just normal. Have you ever been really sick and then got well? And then you realize, man, I was really sick. Because after a while, when you have some kind of chronic illness, you just get to the point that your pain, that your struggle just seems normal. But then through the miracle of medicine or faith or whatever, you become well and you become strong again. That's the kind of feeling that I'm wanting us to have today. Because even though the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Some translations say, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus has come that we might experience abundant life in the light of His kingdom. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him with a plan? Do you trust His purpose for your life? Do you trust Him when He says that He'll work it all out for good? That there may be situations that the enemy meant for evil, but God will use them for good in your life? Throw off the baggage weighing you down. Run the race of freedom into the light. Live in that abundant life where there is no darkness, nor any shadows. Because that's where He wants us to be. And you know what? We all can identify the things that we would consider baggage. Sing with the heart and faith of a child this morning and just simply say, let it go. Let it go. And you know, for the life of me, I can't remember any more of the words of that silly little song. But that phrase is enough. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank You, Father, for this great word that tells us that we can get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. And God, in its place, when we lay these things down, may we have kindness and compassion and love towards one another, forgiving each other, Lord, just as in Christ God forgave us. Lord, an unforgiving heart is one of the greatest weights that we carry around. So, Lord, may we give it to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.